of God. But the topic actually is God's origins. So we've been, you know, treating some fundamentals for the past 2 weeks. And you know, from the beginning, we are defining a little bit of the inerrancy of the scripture. When I say inerrancy, I mean the authenticity of the Bible. We are trying to define why we trust the Bible and why the Bible is a document that is not just, you know, that didn't fall from the sky or that men just, you know, crafted and said, let's use the control men and all that. The Bible is actually a book that is a compilation of books that men wrote, you know, that some years later they combined them to be called the Bible, and they're all inspired by God. So you know, it's more than just a book that people want to use to control people, but it's actually a book that really has a message. If you read it properly, it has a message, and the message, we have been defining that the message is salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. You know, we've been saying that the message of the Bible is Jesus Christ, and that's true. However, it looks like some people don't really understand when we say the message of the Bible is Jesus Christ. But I mean, we are here, we are growing. So either of them is correct. Salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All right. And then we established, you know, from 2 Timothy 3 verse 15, the importance of understanding how to read the Bible. Now, today, we are going to stand on another ground and, you know, just be well open, be open, because I don't want to say anything and then you'll be like, ah, that's too high for me to hear. You know, it's not too high. I made a post on Facebook. I said, the things that we call deep message is actually ABC teaching. It's ABC teaching. But the problem is that we, over time, we have been fed with different information. So because of the junk in our head, because of that, something that is really simple appears too difficult because we are blinded by what we have believed. So it's really meant to be simple, the Bible. It's not a hard thing to understand if you read it well. Amen. All right, let's look at Ephesians 1 and verse 17. Ephesians 1 and verse 17. Today I planned to, you know, bring out a lot of scriptures. So maybe you want to use, if you want to use the power of God, the Holy Spirit, the supernatural power, or you need angels to help you with the scripture, whichever way, we have to be fast. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God now. Hallelujah. All right, so I read. It says, what version? That's okay, that's not King James. Yeah, it's cool. It says that the God of our Father, Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So, where is the spirit of wisdom and where is the spirit of wisdom and revelation? In the knowledge of Him. Exactly. So if I want wisdom, I find it in the knowledge of Christ. If I want revelation, in the knowledge of Christ. So basically, knowing Jesus is having revelation. You know how we say that, that guy is a deep guy. He can preach deep things. I love that guy. If you hear this guy, he's very mysterious in his message, you know. But he just says that the revelation that we have, revelation is not just something that sounds high and really, really takes us nowhere. You know, revelation is Christ. Once a man is preaching Christ, that's revelation. That's the highest rev you can catch. There's no rev again. The rev we have is the knowledge of Christ Jesus. All right, are we done? So it says, the eyes of your understanding. Next verse, it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us ward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. Do you notice something here? It says your eyes will be enlightened to something. And that's something here. The content of what he was talking about is too rich. Look at this. It says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you may know what is the hope of his calling. First thing. the hope of his calling. What is the hope of his calling? That when he comes, we know that we'll be like him. That is obviously the second, what we call the second coming of Christ. What is the hope of his calling? And also the riches now that we have now in him. That is the hope of his calling. And he says, the hope of his calling, all right? And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, let me explain something. When he says, and what the riches of the glory of, how do the translation put it? Okay, it's much more, this is the same. When it says and, the word and there does not always mean something separate from the previous word. Sometimes and really means also, or trying to explain, like, I mean, for instance, when you've had the scripture before where it says, Jesus said, unless a man be born of water and spirit, he shall not see the kingdom of God. The word and there is trying to explain what the water is. So when you say water, and you say, and you're saying, I mean the spirit. So water, which is the spirit, water and the spirit. Just like another place to say, you know, Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and has become Lord and King. Lord, I mean King. Or where, permit me to use the adversary. Revelation 12:9 says, and that great dragon, that old serpent, Satan and the devil. So he's saying the dragon, Satan, the serpent are one person, the devil. So and there means is a thing that's used to explain a word. Alright, so when he says here, what is the hope of our calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance, is the same thing. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. The word and there is the word kai. Kai is spelled K-A-I. All right. So he says, and what is the exceeding greatness? It's still the same thing. See, repeating the same thing over and over again. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? So now, scholars tell us that this is the check your phone. I think I can see a message there. There's an error message I can see. I think it's low battery. All right. If it shows again, I have something there. The charger there. Can use the extension. All right, so it says, and what is the what? Before I lose myself, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Now I said scholars explain that this part of the Bible is the highest concentration of power. All right, for a believer. All right, that will be explained some other time. But what the major thing here is this: when your eyes are enlightened, You see the things that you have in Christ Jesus. You don't see funny things. You don't see demons. No, you see what you have in Christ Jesus. So when somebody say, and God showed me a vision, and I saw hellfire, I saw people crying and dying. Oh God. In fact, if you're in Nigeria, you hear a lot of stories. Like, you hear people say that I saw someone with, you know, makeup in hell, because the person went to hell because of makeup. And I saw someone with trousers, a woman with trousers and stuff like that. So really funny things people see in the name of Revelation. But what do we have in Revelation? We see what we have in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now look at Philemon 1 verse 6. Philemon 1 verse 6. I read. Are you there? Philemon. You're there. All right, Philemon 1 verse 6, it says that the communication of your faith become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. So this word acknowledge there is also a revelation. All right, but now the word used there, you can write it down, the word used for acknowledging there, or whichever word was used there, what word was used there? Let's hear your translation.
I pray that your partnership with us, yeah,
your understanding there is the word epignosis in the Greek, epignosis, E-P-I, you can write it down, E-P-I-G-N-O-S-I-S, epignosis, E-P-I-G-N-O-S-I-S, and epignosis really means the revelation that is accurate, completely accurate. That is, there's no veil in that revelation, you see it completely. All right, so majorly you can see here that we as believers cannot function beyond what we know. We cannot function beyond what we know. It's because you know that, you know that you're a human being that needs to keep your body in a perfect state, or rather in a maintained state, that you wake up in the morning and then you go have your bath, you brush, and all that, you wear nice clothes, you spray perfume and, you know, deodorants and stuff like that. It's because of a certain knowledge that you have acquired. That's the same way, as a believer, you can't function more than you know. So that's why the place of studying, the place of Bible study, the place of learning, it can be underemphasized. It has to be overemphasized. We must know that the place of teaching, the place of learning, is the place a believer grows. Alright? From now to tomorrow, you can ask God for things. Ask God. But if you don't know, then you would be at a place where you will function as though God never died for you. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But you can see so far that knowledge is important. And it's sad sometimes that we don't really notice that. All right, let's go to 2 Timothy 3 verse 15. Which is where we start our teaching. I just wanted to give that as an intro. 2 Timothy 3 verse 15. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. He says, "And that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise," I'm waiting for you, "through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." And we explained also last 2 weeks, and also last week, that when we say, "And from a child you have known the holy scriptures," the word child there is infancy. "You have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise." Holy scriptures there is the Old Testament. And we say they are able to make you wise. The word "are able," "able" there is dunamis or dunamai, able to make you wise. The word "wise" there is sophizo. I'm reading verse 15. Sophizo. It says, "unto salvation." Salvation there is soteria. Soteria means wholeness, freedom, and liberty. It says, "through faith in Christ Jesus." And I just want to point out some things here. And maybe because you are not here last week, you might not really have know what I'm saying, but it's cool. Just listen. "And from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures." Holy Scriptures, Old Testament. "Which are able to make you wise." Now, we know that Paul did not just start in the morning and just like, "And from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures." He obviously started from somewhere. We have to understand what he was saying. What made him to say this? Are you there? So look at chapter 1 of 2 Timothy. We have to understand what Paul was addressing to Timothy here. I read from verse 1. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son." So we can say it's to you as well. All right. "I say, I thank my God," verse 3, "whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers every day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy." Verse 5, "when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also." Verse 6, "wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of hands." How does he stir it up? Next verse. "For God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind." Verse 8, "but be not thou therefore ashamed of what? My testimony," or the testimony of our Lord, rather. Testimony there is not, "praise the Lord, hallelujah, God just gave me a car, and all that." No, that's not the testimony. The testimony here is the testimony of the gospel. Okay, so it says, "the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel." You can see the testimony now. "Gospel according to the power of God." Verse 9, "who has saved us and has called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world began." Verse 10, "but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who had abolished death and had brought life and immortality through the gospel." So he says to Timothy that the testimony is the gospel, that Jesus came and then he died for our sins and he resurrected for our justification, basically. So that's what he told Timothy, not be ashamed of it. Do not be ashamed of it. Look at verse 13. It says, "hold fast the sound form of what? Or the form of sound words. Hold fast the form of sound words. So he now says, hold fast these words, the words of salvation, all right, which thou hast heard of me in faith and in love which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 14, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwells in us. Please, I want you to really pay attention to what's going on here. It says, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia have turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Verse 16, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for oft he refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. Now look at chapter 2. Timothy, therefore, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, what has he been talking about before now? Before now, he has been talking about the testimony of Jesus. He has been telling Timothy, don't be ashamed of my testimony. What's the testimony? The gospel. Don't be ashamed of preaching the gospel. All right? So now, you know, we are getting somewhere. Watch this. The topic here is the gospel. The topic here is the gospel. Can I ask you, what is the topic here? The gospel. So Paul is telling Timothy, don't stop preaching the gospel because you are seeing me in an afflicted state. You are seeing me suffering. Don't be ashamed. You know, some people, they only follow someone they call their mentor as long as their mentor is glorified. Do you see that? It happens for real. I mean, don't mind. I've seen people, they only follow this guy as long as he's popular. Oh, hey, that's my mentor. His mentor is on TV. He's on TV. Yeah, that's my mentor. He's being interviewed and all that. But when the mentor is going through, when the mentor is not having anybody beside him, they leave him. They act as though they don't know him. In fact, they even find another mentor. It's true. I know him. I used to know him. I know him somewhere. Paul says, Timothy, I started well. I get that. Well, he still continued well and finished well. But you get what I mean. I started with everyone following me. But then, no one is here now. I'm in prison. And then I'm afflicted. So, guy, don't be ashamed of me. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Keep preaching the gospel. That's the same way Jesus. When Jesus had about almost 200 followers, almost 200 disciples, you know, if I'm just speaking highly like that. And then when Jesus began to speak doctrinally, he said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Bible says that all of them left him. And then he asked Peter, are you not going? And Peter said, where do we go? Because you have the words of life. Where are we going to? Those are people that are real followers. I know people that, because I've met people that be like, Chita, please, Chita, I want to learn from you. Chita, please, mentor me. Woo, mentor me. I want to learn the scriptures. I want to prophesy. I want to heal the sick. But the moment I start, some of them cannot stay. Some of them cannot stay. And I see that they're only there for something else. They're not there to really learn the word. Because if they are there for the word, whether it is raining or it is shining. Whether it's raining or it's shining, you know, you have to stay there. So I can almost tell those that are genuine. I can almost tell. So that's the thing about this thing. Paul is instructing Timothy, stay with the gospel. So when you are called out to preach, you don't preach experiences. You don't preach the world. You don't preach the events of the world. You are called to preach the gospel. He said the testimony. Some of us had, we quote this part of Revelation, I think Revelation 12 as well. It says, and we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And some of us think that word testimony is talking about praise the Lord, wow! Children, praise the Lord, women, praise the Lord, you know, and all that. That's not what he was talking about. He was talking about the testimony that we overcame him, that the devil, by the blood of the Lamb. The word and there is the word that is the word of our testimony. Revelation 12. That is the word of our testimony. It's the same thing over and over again. Verse 11. So Revelation 12, 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. That is the word of their testimony. So that my testimony is not that I bought something, or that I scored all A's, or that I got a new job, or that, you know, my wife just gave birth, or I got a whatever, a promotion, someone just, you know, just wired a large sum of money to my account. That's not my testimony. Because the truth is this: if our testimony is what an atheist can give as a testimony, then we are not any different. We have no difference. My testimony should be different, should define me as a Christian. My testimony should be based on why I'm called a Christian. My testimony should not be based on house and cars, because unbelievers have houses and cars and they're not doing shouting. They have babies, they are getting married, all that. That is not our testimony. Our testimony is that we overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb, and that is the word of our testimony. So when they say, come and give testimony, sister, you don't come and say, God has been so good to me. You know, this past week, am I saying that, you know, it's not good to be thankful for all the things that you go through and how God gives you victory? No, that's not what I'm saying. But what is your testimony? Testimony is the finished work of Christ. So Paul says, don't be ashamed of this. Don't be ashamed of this. Are you still there? Let's go back to 2 Timothy. We are still there. 2 Timothy 2. We are driving to somewhere. 2 Timothy 2. Oh, you're still there? Oh, cool. That's nice. All right. So I'll read verse 15 now. Verse 15. It says, now, he now says this one, you say, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of the truth. Now, this is the key part. He says, study to show yourself approved. How do you show yourself approved? By studying. The word study there is the word that you know, that means, it, actually, the word I'll spell it for you is spoudazo. Can you write it down? Spoudazo is the word spoudazo. S-P-O-U-D-A-Z-O. Spoudazo. S-P-O-U-D-A-Z-O. It means to be eager, to be diligent. To be eager and to be diligent. To be eager and to be diligent. Are you there? So it says, be eager and be diligent to show yourself approved unto God. Now, he's not saying approve yourself to God. He's saying show yourself approved. Okay, how do you show yourself? By being eager to study the word. Interesting. He says, study to show yourself. He says, to show yourself approved, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So he now says, be rightly dividing. When he says the word of truth, is he talking about the New Testament or the Old Testament? At this point in time, was he talking about the Old Testament or the New Testament? The Old Testament. I answered the question. I shouldn't have answered the question. I wanted to investigate it. You understand? So at this point, when Paul was writing to Timothy, was there a book of Timothy? No, there was no book of Timothy. So clearly, when he said the word of truth, he's talking about the Old Testament. So he says rightly dividing. Do you know what that means? It means you can read the Old Testament wrongly. You can preach it wrongly. That's what it means. But there's a right way. The word rightly dividing, I want you to write this down. The word rightly dividing is the word orthotomeo. And I'll spell it for you. It's spelled O-R-T-H-O. O-R-T-H-O-T-O-M-E-O. Alright, O-R-T-H-O-T-O-M-E-O. Okay, and it means to cut straight ways. Let me explain it for you. Before you write, see what it means. For instance, if I say, Muthumbi, I need you to go to the LRC. Let's say you're in College Lane. Walk to LRC. Now, while you're walking from College Lane to LRC, you're going to walk through, let's say, Robert's Way. You're going to walk through the co-op shop. You see the Galleria. But you won't stop at the Galleria. You won't say, wow, that's the Galleria. Oh, this must be where he wants me to be. No, that's not where I told you to go. You're going to pass the road. You're going to cross the road. You see the traffic light. You're going to see the fountain. Those are distractions from where you're going to. But you're going to cut through a path. That is, you're going to allow yourself to focus until you get to that point. It's like clearing the bush to find something. So until you get to the LRC in Dehav, you will not stop. So that's the same way he said, rightly divide. There's a right division in this Bible. If you're looking at the Bible and then you're trying to find the meaning of every single word, you have become distracted. You have come distracted. I told you that the Bible is so easy. It's not deep. Deep! Say that again. Deep!
Come on, can I hear that again? I want to put a recorder. Put a recorder on. Put your recorder on. Say that again. Let's Snapchat it. What? The Bible is so simple. The Bible can be, listen, the way the Bible is meant to be taught, it's not that I'm teaching and then I'm trying to find a rhyme, you know, just like, okay, when you gotta get up, you gotta get up in the way that you got you up. Because when you go up, Bible says the blessings come down. Who am I talking to? That's deep. You know? Oh, you say, let's not go there. Let's stay on it. Rightly dividing. You can rightly and wrongly. And sadly, we don't know how to rightly divide. But that's when Paul now says. That's when Paul now says. In 2 Timothy 3 verse 15, where we are reading. So you can see the context of Paul's discourse. So far. I would not forget this. But you can go to 2 Timothy 3:15. But just listen to what I say. Okay, have I explained it? Okay, orthotomeo. It means to cut through a part, you know, and all that. So the word truth. You know what I say? The word of truth. The word truth there is the word aletheia, and it means the reality of God or the reality in God. So when you are cutting through the part, you're meant to find what? The reality where? In God. So write that down. Aletheia. Truth. Aletheia. Write it down. Aletheia is spelled A-L-E-T-H-E-I-A. Aletheia. A-L-E-T-H-E-I-A. Praise the Lord. Alright, it's important to note that we don't search the Bible for Rema. You don't like that, do you? We don't search the Bible for Rema for confessions. We don't search the Bible for confessions. We don't search the Bible for confessions. The Bible is not like medical prescriptions where once you're going through this, you find a scripture. The Bible says, the Lord has good plans for me, plans of good and God. That's not true. Let's do that anyways. You're not going there. Or, you know, say, behold, I'll do a new thing. You know, I'll do a new thing. God is about doing a new thing today. Just like he said in the Bible, in the book of Lord, behold, I will do a new thing. I will do this. This is a season that God is about to do new things. You know, you find the scripture that agrees. You call it backing up.